I am Jerry, for those of you who don't know who I am. I want to have a conversation today. Most people recognize that logo. It's altered just a bit. It should say American Idol. What we're going to talk about today is American false idols. What's a false idol? Boy, that really sounds old school, doesn't it? Out of the Old Testament. Maybe some of you think of the Israelites getting a little impatient with Moses. He was taking too long with God up on the mountain, so they talked Aaron into melting all the stuff down and the golden calf, and they worshipped it. That was a false idol. There's wooden idols. There's all sorts of those. What does that mean to us, though? And why am I going to spend about a half an hour talking about it in the 21st century when it's all that old school stuff? Do we still have false idols today? I think one of the best definitions is 500 years old. It comes from Martin Luther. Whatever we treat as God is God. Whatever we put in the place of God, however noble or praiseworthy it may be, is nevertheless an idol. You will know Martin Luther, starter of the Reformation, says, no matter how noble or praiseworthy. In other words, idols don't necessarily start out bad. They might be something good that we corrupt or that we start to worship. What I would do is paraphrase Martin Luther, make more God than God. So what I want to do, if you take Martin Luther's definition, can we come up with just a handful here? What do you consider false idols based on that definition in our world today? Pastor Sean, throw out the first pitch.
Marriage. Was I right?
With a slight addendum, yes.
I'm going to go off of that and say children.
Sports? What else we got?
Money.
Electronic devices.
Anyone else?
You can say
sure. Food? Sex?
Science.
That's enough. And you know what's interesting? I have a list up there almost identical. I mean, what maybe do I have that we haven't heard? Popularity, acceptance, politics was another one that I had. Let's think about Martin Luther's spouse. Okay, we love our husbands and wives. Here's what I think is a great metric for Martin Luther. Time, talent, and treasure. When you look at his quote, time, talent, and treasure. Do we spend more on God or more on these things? That's where the rubber hits the road. Do we give gifts to impress our spouse, or is it purely out of love? Children. How can children become idols? Ever been to a little league game? I mean, getting in the grill of an umpire? I remember, this goes back to Coleman High School 40 years ago, I saw a wrestling mom all down on all fours on the floor as if she was reffing that thing. Come on! Okay, that's an idol. Same thing with, sports. There's nothing wrong with wearing jerseys. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with celebrity, as long as it doesn't become celebrity worship, which is a phrase we actually have, right? Science is a good one. Science is really a good one because the more we know, the more we think we're God, right? It really takes over what we consider the priority. Well, this one, I was kind of surprised wasn't first. Money, 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 money. When you're worried about more money than you need, when you spend your time and your talent getting the treasure, it's become a god. Ramona and I encountered someone recently. We had been warned, but we had no idea. We were in a ministering mode. Wow, and we do that. I'm going to skip food. Anyone who knows me knows that I've said this publicly. This is a terrible one for me. I am doing better. The more I talk about it publicly and the more I pray on it, I'm doing better. Huge idol. Sex. Human intimacy is a beautiful thing. It is a blessing from God. Unless we take it out of the parameters for which he intended it, then it becomes an idol. You notice I skipped over one. There's a reason I call this American false idol. What happens on American Idol? You have the contestants and you whittle them down. We're going to do this really fast. The winner is technology. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is technology. I think there is little doubt that what has become the dominant false idol today is this bad boy. Now, not just this, but every iteration, iPad, laptop, anything you can think of. And I say that because I know you all can't see that list right now, but money, food, all of those, it's easier to worship those with this. And this has really become the center of our lives. Let me give you an example. The technology god failed me massively Friday and Saturday. Ramona mentioned we did the movie day. I couldn't get the audio to work. I spent most of the end of this week trying to get the audio to work where we were showing the movie. Then, Friday, something happened to my phone where I couldn't use text messaging and I couldn't access my contacts. I thought my world had ended. It's like, what do I do? I felt completely helpless. It's like my God, my false God got sick, and I didn't know what to do about it. I want to walk through this today, and I want to start with the Apostle Paul. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Paul here is talking about sexual immorality. Apparently, there was a period in that church, in the early church, where, and by the way, this still happens today, where, well, look, you know, I'm saved. There's nothing I have to do to earn it, nothing I can do to lose it. So, you know, I'll do this, that, and the other thing, and then I'll ask forgiveness, and then I get to do it all over again. People don't do that anymore today, right? Yeah, chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. And Paul's like, no, it doesn't work that way. It works this way. And I like his word there, mastered. There is nothing wrong with this. This is not a bad thing. Food is not a bad thing. Money is not a bad thing. I mentioned politics earlier. Athletics, those aren't bad things. It's what happens to them in our hands versus the one true God that we are to worship. Paul obviously felt emphatic about this because you're going to think I made a mistake and put the same verse up twice. I haven't. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Here, he's talking about meat that had been sacrificed to false gods. So, on the one hand, he's saying not everything is constructive. Some of our false gods really don't have a constructive purpose. They're just kind of bad things that happens. But I think where Paul mostly, what we're talking about today, is that first verse from 1 Corinthians. What are we mastered by? What is the center of our lives? What Paul is talking about is, in the first one, when he's talking about people being hypocrites, things aren't necessarily bad as long as they are not the focal point of our lives. So let's take a look at this. False idols put distance between God and us. Love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. if something else is taking up huge chunks of those things. It's impossible for the first one to be true. As I was researching for this, and maybe some of you knew about this, I didn't. There's an app called Rescue Time. You do when you don't want rescue time. You want it, but you probably don't want it because it tells you how much time you spend doing what with this, that, and the other thing. You can, you know, you have it on your phone, your iPad, your laptop, your whatever. And it tracks everything you do for how long you do it. So they take that data and they aggregate it to big picture stuff. I found this fascinating and frightening. On average, people generally spend about 3.25 hours on their phones every day. Okay, I know this isn't perfect, but this is what most people use. There are 24 hours in a day, figure 16 waking hours and 8 hours sleeping. I don't get 8 hours sleep. Some people get more. But let's go with that. If you go with the 16 waking hours, that's almost a fourth of that time on this. But wait, there's more. The top 20% of smartphone users, they top that 25% mark. 4.5 hours a day. My first thought was, no. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just ask my wife. By the way, I have to confess, this is me. And she wouldn't let me get away with giving this message. This is physician, heal thyself. God gave this to me because, in part, I really need this. Wait, there's more. The average American spends 10 hours and 39 minutes on total screen time each day. Remember, we're talking roughly 16 hours of being awake. What? And think about it. And again, I'm throwing myself at the mercy of the court here. I talk to people and look at this thing all the time, or I used to, until I started preparing for this message and realized how much this reflected me or I reflected that. It's almost 11 hours out of 16 hours you're awake. How can there possibly be room for God or people or anyone else in your life if we're doing that? What I got to thinking, I don't know why God gave me the technology thing. I actually was at a Christian business lunch, and that's where I got some of these stats. That's where I got the inspiration for this, but you've been here in February when Pastor Sean was speaking. He talked a lot about relationship goals. How can we have relationship at all? Okay, how can we have relationship with God? And then how can we love others the way God calls us to if we're doing that? It occurred to me, there's another word for false idol worship. It's also from the Old Testament. Gluttony. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. Proverbs 25:16 is just one verse I found on gluttony, and I actually chose it because of that graphic description. Too much of anything, even a good thing, makes you sick. All of the ones we talked about, that's true. None of those, obviously, marriage is a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. Those are all fine. Until we obsess and fixate on them almost to the exclusion of everything else. As I was preparing for this sermon, I stumbled upon, when I was researching gluttony, a Christian writer wrote that gluttony is the most excused sin in the church these days. Now, he meant that in a couple of ways. The Old Testament was always, in fact, talking about food gluttony, right? Anything we overindulge in for pleasure of the flesh is gluttony. That does include technology. It includes all of those things. And he is also right. We do just tend to overlook excesses. Things people are shunned for in society, we want to welcome them in church. And of course, we should welcome everyone into church. But on an individual basis, our own, looking at our own selves, how often do we do that? And going back to what I said, how does this impact our relationship with people and God? According to the Telegraph of the UK, professed Christians, people that say they are Christ followers, spend about 8 minutes a day in prayer. Do you remember the other numbers? 3.25 hours on average on this, 4.25 for the high-end users, and almost 11 hours a day on all screen time. Now, in fairness, some of that may be talking with God, right? I want to be really clear on this. I'm not saying that we have to throw these into the Bay of Green Bay. I'm not saying that. What are we using them for, though? If people are professing it's only 8 minutes a day, are they forgetting the time that they talk, use this to communicate with God? Maybe, maybe not. It's a matter of awareness. It's a matter of what is my priority in life. This one fascinated me. Couples, on average, spend 2 to 2.5 hours a day together. That includes weekends. But for most people, you have all that time together. And the 7-day average still comes out to 2 to 2.5 hours a day. And a third of that, watching TV together. How else are you going to get that nearly 11 hours in, right, of screen time? Which, again, I don't want to say that this is bad. Maybe you do enjoy watching movies. Maybe it's productive time. Technology's become so dominant. As Pastor Sean was telling us the importance of relationships, what's the first and most important ingredient? Time. Time. If you don't have that, you cannot possibly have a relationship. In other words, it isolates us from others. I'm going to confess something I didn't clear with Ramona. Okay? We have 2 TVs. She's like, what? We have 2 TVs. We don't really necessarily like the same shows. She's off in the bedroom. I'm watching whatever it is I watch, or I'm doing something else. It's not bad, but is it separating you from God? Is it separating you from people that you are supposed to love? I mentioned this one earlier. It makes it easier to worship all those. And, you know, one we didn't talk, a false idol, which I really don't see a healthy upside, is gambling. You know, man, you can do that all you want online. And probably the most dangerous one. I want to just let that one marinate. Makes us believe we're more like God. I want you to think about that. What could he possibly mean by that? I had a fascinating experience recently. I was in a meeting and someone said, you know, we don't even really need schools and teachers anymore. He was not joking, by the way. Teach them how to read, teach them the basics, and everything's here. This is it. Okay, so to him, this is an omniscient God. This is it. This is all we need. Now, of course, once you do that, then this becomes limited, right? Because we're not adding new information to it. So this is God, and it's God in our pocket. So once we have, then we're God. Let me give you an example of this. Anyone who's known me for most of my life knows what a know-it-all I am. I just have this head full of useless information. It's just amazing. So anytime someone would say a certain fact, no, you're wrong about that, and I would know, okay? Back in the day, if I really cared that much, I would go research it and then confront them later. Now, wait a minute, you're wrong, because I'm God. I have it right here. I know I've done that, and others have done it to me. So what it comes down to is, do we trust technology? Do we love technology? Do we give more time, talent, and treasure to this to where it's no longer, go back to what Paul said, I will not be mastered by anything. Are we mastered by it? And what does it do with our relationship with God, those he wants us to love? So, I did come up with some biblical help for this. This may surprise you. This may seem... Really? That? Yes. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. Well, how does that address this issue? But the fruit of the Spirit, Paul wrote, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Don't know if you've ever taken a good look at those nine elements. What is the first one? And what is the last one? The first one is love. If we don't love God more than we love anybody else because of the way Jesus loved us, because he sacrificed himself just by coming to earth, living here, suffering, dying a horrific death, in substitutional atonement for our sins, something we could never repay. That's where that love comes from. That he loved us that much, that we can love him in return so greatly more than anything else. Okay? We get that one, and we will produce that love to others, right? We don't have to think about it. We don't have to force it. Tree doesn't have to will an apple. It just is something that comes from the sun and the sugars and everything else. So we don't have to fight. We don't have to resist this desire. If we get that one, or any other, if we get that one right, and then the love for others flow naturally, and we have less time for this. Self-control. See, the problem with Paul, what he's talking about there was self-control, people tend to think self-control. Here's what I mean by that. What I had was a picture of a dog with a biscuit on its nose. Because that's how we tend to treat self-control. By 10 in the morning, I'm coming up with an excuse in terms of what reason I can come up with for having a snack or something like that. I don't really have to wait until noon. That's self-control. In fact, the image of a dog with a biscuit on its nose I got from a dear friend who Ramona and I will be seeing later today. She confessed that's kind of how she goes through her devotionals in the morning sometimes. I can't wait for this to be done. I can't wait for this to be done. I can't wait for this to be done. Okay? That's doing it wrong. The self-control that comes from the fruit of the Spirit, that we are loving God more than anything else, and those desires simply can't manifest themselves. That's what happens. What hath God wrought? That is from the Bible. It is from the King James Version, Numbers 23:23. But that has nothing to do with the message today. It's also one of the most famous quotes of the 19th century. It's Samuel Morse's first telegraph message. What I do is try to take this useless information and make some use out of it. What hath God wrought? So Samuel Morse meant one of two things. What amazing thing has God done here that we're going to have for the first time mass communication? In 40 years, the United States would have been wired coast to coast, New York to California. Amazing. We can't imagine what a development that was. So Samuel Morse may have been saying, what hath God wrought? Or he may have been saying, what hath God wrought? How are we going to mess this up? How are we going to abuse this? I think the answer is both. This is amazing. Think of what they thought of the telegraph and coast-to-coast communication 160-some years ago. They couldn't imagine this. This is great, and it's awful. Depending on what we do with it. Let me give you an example of that. Ramona and I are ministering to someone, and that person had some type of crisis. When that person reaches out, it's usually, okay, there's something, they need our help. With this, I can respond. You know, I can pray on it. I can meditate. God, what's the answer? And I can respond to that person. And I did. I don't know if you know this. And so I want to be very clear on this, that I'm not saying technology is bad. On this phone, when my messages are working, you can audio record messages and just send them like a text. Do you ever consider sending prayers to people? I do it all the time now. I sent a 4.5-minute prayer. That's the only thing. It's like, boy, that was a long prayer. I sent a 4.5-minute prayer to that person this morning. That's the what hath God wrought. What hath God wrought? It's amazing. The Bible, anytime I want it, even when I don't always remember which book comes in which order. What hath God wrought? Where I can share with and have people share with me verses and readings and podcasts that do give glory to God, that do expand his kingdom. I can use this to better communicate, to better, instead of being isolated from people. It's up to me and you. It's not up to the phone. If it is an idol in our lives, we have to flip that. So I think the fruit of the Spirit, keep that in mind, love and self-control. Love and self-control. What am I using it for? How often am I using it for God's purpose and the purpose of others? One of our kids got me a daily devotional for Christmas, author Bob Goff. I don't agree with Bob Goff on everything. He tends to be he's not big on doctrine, he's big on Jesus, and that's great, and we all should be. But I love this quote, and it is from that devotion. The gospel isn't a set of doctrines we agree with. It's actually Jesus. He said he was the way, the truth, and the life. Don't add to it. It's possible to have great doctrine and lousy theology. Loving people the way Jesus did is great theology. Where I just would slightly disagree with that is we do need doctrine, we do need the gospel, we need the word, and we need, when the time and the relation is right, to share that with people. But his point here, loving people, and that's why I said love and the fruit of the Spirit, I really emphasize that. Loving people the way Jesus did. If we do that, if that's what's on our hearts, that's what will come out here, that's what will be here, and there won't be time for this to be an idol. And when we do use it, we will think about that. We will think about that. How can we use this to accomplish that? If you do that, the winner that we said, the winner today, technology, of American false idol, will fall to last place. Let's go to the Lord.